I'm pressing on the upward way. No heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. For though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to live above the world, though Satan starts at me are hurled. For faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I'll pray till heaven I've found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
A little bit more today about those higher ways that God has for us. Praise the Lord. Let us turn to the fourth chapter of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 4. Verse 15. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be you followers of me. For this cause have I sent unto you Timothy, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. We want to resume this series, which we began some time ago, on being in Christ, the wonderful blessings and benefits that we have simply because we are there. Today, I want to concentrate on my ways which be in Christ. That is, the ways of the Apostle Paul. The first thing we want to realize here is that Paul is not trying to establish his own following. He denounced that practice in 1 Corinthians 1 and 2. There is no arrogance and there is no conceit on his part. And despite the fact that we read here that he exhorted Timothy to bring these people into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. But he was not preaching and teaching himself. We find out that Paul was simply an example of the message that he preached. He is leading by example. He gives the same admonition to Timothy. In 1 Timothy 4:12 and 13, he says this, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers." And then there are a number of ways that he tells Timothy how he should be that example. Be an example in word, and be an example in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity, and indeed in doctrine. And so Timothy, likewise, is to follow in this same path of being an example. We see here in verse 15 that Paul gives himself as the example of a father. Though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, you have all of these people that are ready to tell you what to do, instruct you in so many ways as to their own liking. Yet, you will notice you have not many fathers, because a father leads by example. A father leads because of divine love. And he says, in Christ, again, this wonderful term, in Christ, that we see again and again and again in Scripture, giving us place in a very special realm that God has prepared. In Christ have I begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore, because of this, because of that godly example I am setting before you, I beseech you, be you followers of me. 1 Corinthians 11:1, he is a little bit more emphatic and more instructive about it. Be ye followers of me, but notice the secret, as I also am of Christ. He is simply telling them, I am setting the example before you in living color. This is why he wanted them to remember his ways, because he wanted them to follow in those same ways. Philippians 3:17, be ye followers of me. You have us as an example. And so every gospel minister, just exactly like Timothy, should be an example of the message that he preached in all of those ways that we have seen here. And so they are to remember his ways in order that they might walk in that same path. But just what are the ways of the Apostle Paul? What does it mean to follow in his ways? 2 Corinthians 11 describes a great number of the ways of suffering that the Apostle Paul went through. He says he was beaten 5 times by the Jews. He received 39 stripes of them. He was beaten with rods. He was stoned. He was shipwrecked. He had perils in waters, perils in robbers, perils of the heathen, perils of false brethren. This is the ways of Paul, but I want to notice that the ways of Paul are not simply given that we might have hardship and trouble. The object of those ways is simply not to see how much that God can make us suffer, as some people might conclude at times, but we want to see the things that are produced in our lives as a result of traveling that path. There is no way that we can fully follow the Lord without many of these heartaches and sufferings and difficulties. It is impossible. Jesus himself is the master and he is the leader. He went this path and he told us we are going to go the same way. And Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. So I want to notice some of these ways that we walk in, not simply just for the sake of suffering, as I said, but the glorious benefits that we have. Let us turn to 2 Timothy, the first chapter, and find out the glorious path that God intends that you and I should follow in our experience. Paul exhorts once again his son Timothy in the faith, and he says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me his prisoner. This is one of the first ways that we have to learn of the Apostle Paul. It is the way of being his prisoner. The way of being absolutely confined to the message and to the decisions that the Lord would make for our lives. In this case, the Apostle Paul had literally gone to prison. Rome was his jailer, but he was the prisoner of Jesus. It is the Lord who was making the decisions for his life. And so he exhorts Timothy not to be ashamed of him as the prisoner of the Lord, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. Following the way of Paul will bring the afflictions of the gospel. But this is what we must understand. This doesn't mean that we all have to go to a foreign country and to the into the deserts and all of these things of foreign missionaries and put up with the things that Paul mentioned there in 2 Corinthians 11. When we begin to obey the gospel, there will be certain afflictions that will come our way that have nothing to do many times with the way other people are treating us. We must be partakers of these afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Verse 12, for the which cause I also suffer these things. The cause he's talking about is the fact that indeed, these are the afflictions of the gospel. He was a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 11, he says, whereunto I'm appointed a preacher, an apostle, a teacher of the Gentiles. For all of these reasons, he says, this is the cause I suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. And why? For I know. This is what we want to see in our lives today, that these ways of the Apostle Paul produce great, wonderful spiritual benefit for us. And as we see here, one of them is simply the path of faith. I know whom I have believed. It's in the midst of these difficulties that we come face to face with believing him for ourselves, that we really understand who he is. And I love what Paul says here. I know. This is not wishful thinking. This is not a pipe dream. This is not a myth. I know whom I have believed. I know something else. I am persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him. That is something we learn by following in the way of Paul, in the footsteps that he went, we learn exactly the same glorious truth that we can commit ourselves, everything that we have and everything that we are, committed unto the Lord, and we know he is going to take good care of it. This, as I've said many times, the Lord always takes good care of what belongs to him. That's me. And so he will take care of me, that which I have committed unto him. Verse 13, hold fast the form of sound words you have heard of me. In following the ways of Paul, we learn Paul's gospel. It's one thing to learn the theory of that message. It's another to walk in the way that it describes. And so hold fast the sound words that you have heard of me. We must. The way of Paul is to listen to the words of Paul and walk in that same glorious path. Notice further. You've heard of me in faith. Paul demonstrated faith before Timothy and these Corinthian believers. Walk in that same path of faith. And as we have said over and over, don't make the path of faith so hard and so difficult and so unreachable. The path of faith simply means I believe God. That's all. I will believe God. So it's the path of faith. You'll notice further. Path of faith, and now then, the path of love, and both of them are where? In Christ Jesus. And so this glorious love and this faith, we are motivated by both of them as we take our place in Christ Jesus. What a glorious and wonderful thing that God has given to us. Paul continues in the second chapter, verse 1. Notice some more of the ways of Paul. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is, in Christ Jesus. Verse 2. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. The way of Paul is not to gather all of this information and all of this knowledge and all of these words unto ourselves and just hoard it. The way of Paul is to commit it or to share it or to give it to other people as much as we have opportunity to do so. This is the way that Paul went, and indeed we are to walk in the same ways. Commit them to faithful men and teach others also. Verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier. If we are going to be a prisoner of the Lord, confined to His army, so to speak, we must arm ourselves with the fact that there are going to be some sufferings and hardships along the way. But notice that Paul, in all of his writings, he does not try to get people to just simply obsess with the sufferings and the difficulties they are going through. He would rather have us reach ahead and know what indeed they are working, but we must have a particular attitude in or during the time. Notice what he says. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Verse 4. No man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. This must be the attitude of our lives. We are bound and determined, so to speak, to please him who has called us to be a soldier. It is about him and not about ourselves. This is the way that the Apostle Paul trod, and it is the same way that we are not only to remember, but to follow in the same steps. I want to enlarge on this first one here in verse 1 of chapter 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace. That is a statement of a lifetime. strong in the grace. This is the way of grace. And the thing that I especially want to realize is that it is a way that has to be learned. We don't automatically follow in the way of divine grace. Walking in the ways of grace are completely foreign to the nature of men. Men always want to deserve something, but the grace of God is not that way. God's grace is simply given unto us, and we believe it and enjoy it and appropriate it, and men do not understand that. But grace is much more than just unmerited favor to the undeserving. That's often a definition we hear of it, and I have no problem with that. But what I want to see in this message is that divine grace is actually a power for our lives. This is the way of grace that the Apostle Paul wanted us to understand. Turn to 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. And we find a time here where that Paul learned one experience wherein he learned the grace of God. We have seen it often, and we have gloried in it, and we have enjoyed it in our own lives in so many different times and ways. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. I want to understand, stop right here and understand that the deeper the revelation, the more we are going to be afflicted by the enemy. It just happens that way. When you seek the deeper things of God, this is a part of the way of the Apostle Paul that we are talking about today. When we begin to receive the depths of the revelations, and we find out why it is that way. Lest I should be exalted above measure. The way of divine grace is the way of humility. The way of divine grace has no room for those who think more highly of themselves than they ought to think. Why? Because an attitude like that makes us independent of God, and independence of God in the grace way is a foreign language. We must learn the ways of humility. And when God begins to show these glorious truths unto us, yes, indeed, it will lift us up on a higher plane than we have ever gone before. And that's wonderful, and that's fine. The only thing we have to know is it was not because of me. God did not and does not intend for us to be conceited and puffed up over the revelations of truth that he gives to us. So lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Now I have heard some people just detract from this. I've heard some say, well, now you don't have the same revelation that Paul did, so this doesn't apply to you. Why can I not have the same revelation that Paul did? If Paul told me to walk in the ways of Paul, why can God not give me the depths of the revelation of truth and the mystery that he gave to the Apostle Paul? And the answer is, he most certainly can, and he will reveal the depths of the Word of God to me just as much as he did all of those worthies of faith throughout the Scripture. So let's never let the enemy sell us short as to how much and how deep the revelation of God he can give to me. So lest I should be exalted through the abundance of the measure of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. If we are going to walk this way with Paul, we must also be ready for the thorn in the flesh. He doesn't identify it. He doesn't tell us there are different things that we gather. Perhaps it was his eyes or the weakness in his body, as he mentions here. The one thing we do know is this. He suffered it in the flesh. That means in this physical body. There was something that was very real to the Apostle Paul day after day after day as he got up. Things in this body that he did not like. And he said, I besought the Lord 3 times to remove it. And he didn't do it. But that does not mean that God did not answer him. Verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord 3 times, that it might depart. He really is not saying, I'm wanting a way to cope with this. He wanted to get rid of it. But here's God's answer, verse 9. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. It is experiences like this where you and I also learn the depths of the power of divine grace. Something that Satan inflicted. And I say again, it's the messenger of Satan. We often hear that God is blamed for so many things that happened. God uses Satan as his tool and puppet, but this is the messenger of Satan. I want to encourage our hearts with one absolute fact. Satan can go no further in my life than God allows him to go. We have that in the example of Job. God says you can do whatever you want to, but you cannot take his life. That still holds for us. God never did intend for Satan to destroy us. But God did intend for us to learn the depths of the power of divine grace during these great, terrible, trying, difficult times wherein this messenger of Satan would afflict us. Notice what God said to Paul, what Jesus said to Paul. My grace is sufficient for thee in verse 9, for my strength is made perfect in the only way we are ever going to learn the depths and the power of divine grace is when we come to the end of our own strength, no matter what it is, in order that we might depend on the very strength of the Lord. So important that we understand this way of Paul, which is the same as the way of divine grace. We will close with Philippians 4, where we see some more wonderful ways with which we can identify in our own lives, I am sure. Philippians 4 and verse 11. Paul says, not that I speak in respect of want. He's talking here about his own natural needs. We all have certain needs. We have to eat and we have to be clothed and we have to have all of these other things that are pertinent to our existence here on the earth. And so not that I speak in respect of want, but you can underline these words, I have learned. Walking in the ways of Paul are not something that is automatic. We must learn to walk in the way of Paul. And so he says, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And then he lists some of those states. There are others, but these are just simply overall descriptions of the state that Paul was talking about. He says in verse 12, I know. And once again, when he says, I know, it means I know it by experience. I hadn't heard this from somebody else. I've been here. I know in my own life and experience how to be abased. The word abased means base. It means low down. It means humble. It means low degree. It means depressed. All of these are descriptions, definitions of what it means to be abased. And being abased is one of the states that divine grace has chosen for us. I know how to be abased. But I know how to abound. And some might think, boy, that's one I wouldn't have any trouble with. But yeah, we do. That's why that Paul was given the thorn in the flesh, so that he would not be exalted above measure, because he was abounding in these revelations. It is during that time of abounding that we may have a tendency to grow independent of God. We'll not turn there, but I want to notice these wonderful balance that Solomon gives to us in Proverbs 30, verses 8 and 9. Solomon said it this way, "Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient." The word means food that is appointed, indeed appointed by God for me. I will leave my decision of this to the Lord. "Lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain." God is a master at balancing out these two of being abased and abound. And we must learn the lessons in absolutely every one of them. Again, we see here in Paul's message, "I am instructed," as we see here, "I am instructed, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry." And the conclusion is in verse 13. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." God will exhaust every bit of our natural strength and force and power. He will abase us to that degree that we might learn the strength of Christ. This is exactly the same condition as Paul describes in 2 Corinthians 12:9 that we read. "My strength," that is Jesus' strength, "is made perfect in weakness," meaning your weakness. We will never understand the strength of Christ until we come face to face with our own weakness in all of these various ways. And so I conclude today by saying we must learn all the ways of Paul which be in Christ Jesus.